Don't get boxed in by a whiteboarding app with limited functionality. Try Lucid, the visual collaboration platform that covers your team's entire spectrum of work. With Lucid, you can host virtual brainstorms and so much more. Diagram important processes, conduct cross-functional planning on an infinite visual canvas, power your workflows with data and intelligent automation, and bring your best ideas to life. Try Lucid for free at lucid.co/Spotify.
Hey y'all, welcome to another episode of Jesse's Fireside Chats. Today I'll be talking to you mainly about government shutdowns, but at first I would like to briefly talk about this whole idea of a rapture. So, if someone comes and says that they have a date and time that the world will end, you can automatically just tune out anything else they're saying. You know why? Because the scriptures tell us that only God knows the day and the hour. They give us signs to look for, yes, but they do not include a date. Jesus, in his own words, said that only the Father knows the day and the hour that the world will end. I am paraphrasing, but that is what he said. So, if someone claims to have a day and time that the world will end, or even just a day that the world will end, well, you can use simple process of elimination. They're not God, therefore, they don't know. Therefore, what they're saying is garbage. If anything, they're sinning against God by lying, you know, bearing false witness, because they're claiming to know when they don't, and maybe even by taking his name in vain, because they are claiming they know what he will do. They are using that and sowing panic and possibly even making money off of it. That might be a bit of a stretch, so the bearing false witness might be a stronger criticism of it, but either way, they are misrepresenting what the Bible says. They are misrepresenting God and his word. So, y'all need to stop panicking every time somebody claims they know the end of the world. I remember 2012 very well. I was in middle school. I was in sixth grade, and I remember people freaking out about 2012. It's going to be the end of the world because some Mayan calendar. Yeah, whatever. We're not Mayans, last I checked, so why does that even matter? This is America, not Maya land. Mexico, Guatemala. And even if we were in Mexico and Guatemala, the Mayan civilization collapsed. Contrary to popular belief, the Mayan civilization collapsed before the Spanish arrived. So, yeah, their calendar means basically nothing. Now, let's get into this talk about a government shutdown. I have lived through several news cycles about potential government shutdowns, actual government shutdowns. I remember one time in high school we had one, and there was a meme going around. This was during the first Trump administration, where they said it had a picture of Trump holding a phone, and it said, "Hello, my government's not doing what I want it to," in one thought bubble, and then in another thought bubble it said, "Did you try turning it off and turning it back on?" And of course, this was back when I was a leftist, so of course I like that meme, and I still find the idea funny, like, "Hey, my government's not doing what I want it to do. Did you try turning it off and turn it back on?" Like, I still find that image funny, even if that image was disparaging an administration that I don't love, but I don't hate either. Now, as a small government conservatarian, I would like it if large chunks of the government shut down for good. Not the whole thing, but big parts of it. And I do like this idea of terminating some of these people. I think that's a good idea. I don't know all the specifics of who it's proposed to terminate. So there could be someone in there that I don't like the idea of terminating, but as far as I can tell, a lot of these agencies are way too big. We have a lot of agencies we just shouldn't have. So, okay. Let's cut out a big giant slab. Let's cut out, like, I like the idea of cutting out 50% of the government. I think that's a good starting point. That was proposed by Vivek Ramaswamy, who I wouldn't have voted for in a primary because he's not a Christian, but he did make some good points. And so I do think that if we actually had a government shutdown where we actually shut down big slices of the government for good, I could support that. Now, that is what a lot of people picture, and that is the fear-mongering, is that the government completely shuts down, grinds to a halt, and we turn into anarchy. But that's not what actually happens. Because not only do quote-unquote essential services, which some of them are actually essential, we do need defense. I've been clear on my thoughts on the military, but leaving that aside for a second, we do need defense. We do need law enforcement. Some of those essential services still stick around. Things like the national parks closed down, yes. Although, I've been clear, I think we should get rid of national parks. I've done a whole episode on the idea of national parks, so I'm not going to belabor that point. People still get their Social Security checks every month, as far as I can tell, like, that doesn't get affected. I don't think we should have social safety nets, but again, leaving that aside, those are generally not affected. And even the people who don't go into work, like the people that work at the National Park Service and stuff, they stay home, they get kind of a furlough, but then they go back to work, and I think they get back pay, too. So, it's less of a government shutdown and more of a government pause. More of a, when you're watching Netflix and you have to go to the bathroom, so you pause the movie. That's basically what it is. Because if it was a true shutdown, then that would mean that A, things wouldn't run at all, which, as I said, some things do pause, but B, you would no longer be employed. It's not like you would get back pay or anything. You wouldn't have a job anymore. Just gone. That's what a true shutdown would be. I mean, when a business shuts down, when a business stops being in business, when somewhere has a going out of sale or going out of business sale and then a closed sign, what that means is they're not in business anymore. Now, could they come back? Yes, but they have to fully restart everything. They have to fully get new inventory and probably hire or rehire everybody. Like, that's what a shutdown is. A shutdown, if we want to be technical, is not, oh, we're going on vacation for 3 weeks. But everybody still has a job. They just don't come into work right now. That is a pause. That is a vacation. That is a temporary stoppage or a delay. So if we wanted to be technically accurate in our political discourse, we wouldn't call it a government shutdown. We would call it a government freeze or a government delay or a government pause or a government stoppage. Temporary stoppage. Because, as I've just laid out, it's not a full shutdown and it's not a permanent shutdown. It is temporary. And so, what do I think about the whole, whether it's a Democrat shutdown or a Republican shutdown? I don't have an opinion because, quite honestly, half the people in Congress probably think that Guam will tip over. So, I don't have much faith in a lot of our political representatives. Some of them are good. Yes, I do like some of them, but a lot of them are people that confuse doors for fire alarms or think that islands will capsize or think that that space lasers A, exist and B, have a religious affiliation. So I don't, it's like the Bible says not to put all your trust in princes or horses. Yeah. I've been very clear and will continue to be that we should not rely on politicians to solve all of our problems. And so just like we shouldn't rely on them to solve all of our problems, we shouldn't rely on them to analyze the world for us. That should be our job. That's why, too, I am against this whole disinformation crackdown idea that the Biden administration loved. It was like, A, people didn't seem to know the difference between a fact and an opinion because I guess they fell asleep during fifth grade reading class. But B, more importantly, whether you understand that it's a fact or an opinion or not, or even if it is a fact or something presented as a fact, it is your job as the consumer of the information to decide, A, whether you believe it, and B, whether it sounds accurate to you. Which I know that might sound like the same thing, but it's kind of not. Because you can believe that 2 plus 2 is 15, but if someone presses you, you have to be able to explain how and why you think that that sounds accurate. Or if you don't, then why you believe it. Because there has to, like, whether we want to admit it or not, there has to be a reason we believe everything we believe. I know this is really getting into the philosophical weeds here, but bear with me. I mean, I believe that God exists because, A, he touched me, but B, like, there's so much other evidence, including his word, including what other people's testimonies, including things he did after touching me, like other testimonies I have, including just basic common sense that if he didn't exist, nothing would. Like, there are so many reasons why. I don't just believe it because I woke up this morning and felt like it. And so, this whole disinformation thing, this whole idea of the government deciding what is disinformation, or some company executive deciding what's disinformation, is ridiculous on its face, because it is up to you, the consumer, to filter out, when you see information, what is true and what is not. Now, that doesn't mean we should encourage necessarily the spread of things like false religions or challenges like the cinnamon challenge, but that does, even that shouldn't necessarily be dealt with at the government level. That should be socially discouraged. Like, there should be social pressures that prevent some of that instead of the government throwing you in jail for encouraging people to swallow cinnamon. Unless, you know, there are edge cases, yes. If you are a cult leader and you brainwash a bunch of people and they hurt themselves, well, then you probably should get in trouble for that. But, like, realistically, you know, the government should not decide what it considers to be disinformation, because we have freedom of the press, and freedom includes responsibility. Freedom is not a lack of responsibility or consequences. Freedom is the ability to do what you know you should, and the ability to face consequences if you do not. Just like we have freedom of speech, you are allowed, legally, you can say you're a strawberry. There shouldn't be, you know, that is protected speech because you're not inciting violence or anything. You can legally say you're a strawberry, but you shouldn't, because it's factually inaccurate and dumb. And especially if you're around children who are still learning what everything is, you might legitimately confuse them. I might just laugh, but they might genuinely be confused. They might actually fall for it, even for a second, until someone explains and shows them what a strawberry actually is. You know, legally, you can say that 2 plus 2 is 15, but that doesn't mean it is. You can say the earth is flat. That doesn't mean it is. And it should be on the consumer to decide what they believe. And if that means that some people believe lies, well, that's unfortunate, but that's not the government's job. God is the one who created truth. God is the one who created the world. He's the one who protects the truth, not human hands that cannot handle that amount of power. So where was I going with that? Well, I was saying that a lot of times in our political discourse, we use terms that are not technically accurate and evoke images of things that are much more dramatic than they actually are. And a government shutdown is just one example of that. When you hear the words government shutdown, your mind probably does go to this image of everything grinding to a halt, planes falling from the sky, everything descending into complete anarchy, people fighting over cases of water in the streets, panic buying toilet paper. But that's not what it actually is. And so I think that government shutdown is just one example of many where we need to focus less on over-dramatizing everything and more on being as technically accurate in our political and philosophical discourse as we possibly can be. There are some edge cases where that can mean that you need to use a more dramatic term because that is what is actually going on. Like, for example, instead of calling it abortion, we need to call it child genocide because that's what it is. But this is not one of those cases. The best thing you can call it is a partial government stoppage. Which I know is more of a mouthful than government shutdown, but it is more technically accurate because, as I've covered before, the government does not completely shut down. It just, certain services shut down for a little bit. They are paused for a bit. National parks, for example. The essential workers still go out there. They might not get paid right away, but they even get back pay. And even the things that that close for a bit, I believe that those people get back pay too. They just have a vacation. Or furlough, I guess. It's not really a vacation, but you know what I mean. They don't go into work. And, you know, the essential functions of the government continue to run as normal. Most people probably don't even notice when we're in a government shutdown, especially if it's short. So, those are my thoughts on that. I'm not going to engage in the partisan drama because I don't have much interest in that. I care more about the actual issues themselves than the people involved. I've been clear on that and will continue to be. So, thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed this episode or considered it to be food for thought. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, the RSS feed, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Audible, and Pandora. You can also contact us on our Facebook page at Jesse's Fireside Chats and on X at JFSCPod. You can also send us an email if you'd like at jessesfiresidechats@gmail.com. That's JESSEAS, firesidechats@gmail.com. We have a Ko-fi page, so no pressure, but if you'd like to leave a small donation, you can do so at ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. That's ko-fi.com/Jesse's Fireside Chats. Thank you so much for listening. Please pass this along to anybody you know that might be interested, and come back next time. Have a blessed day.